Radio Prague News.
The Czech lower house has debated the introduction of electronic cash registers. The Czech Prime Minister has explained to German Social Democrats the country's stance on immigrants, and Jaromír Jágr has passed another ice hockey milestone. Lawmakers in the lower house of the Czech Parliament started a debate Friday on the adoption of electronic cash registers. The measure is a flagship move by Finance Minister and ANO leader Andrej Babiš, aimed at cracking down on tax fraud. But the two main opposition groups, the Civic Democrats and Topo 9, have vowed to block the measure, saying it will force the closure of many small businesses. The opposition lawmakers said Friday they would appeal to the Constitutional Court after the government forced its programme for debate. Czech Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka attended Friday the party congress of the German Social Democrats in Berlin. Sobotka was scheduled to meet the party leader and vice-chancellor Sigmar Gabriel and Foreign Minister Frank-Walter Steinmeier. The Czech Prime Minister said he would explain the Czech stand over the recent immigration crisis, in which the opposition to quotas opened a rift with Berlin, and he said he would also discuss the fight against terrorism. The Czech Prime Minister stressed Prague is willing to contribute to humanitarian help for the immigrants. The next Czech ambassador to the US will be Hynek Kmoniček, the current head of the President's Foreign Affairs Office, the Daily Pravo reported on Friday, citing informed sources. Kmoniček refused to confirm the information, but said he expected to work in the President's office for most of the next year. The current ambassador is former Civic Democrat Minister Petr Gandalovic. Kmoniček is better known for his expertise on the Middle East. Embattled communist MEP Miloslav Ransdorf has confirmed that he was acting in Switzerland on behalf of Vladimir Hunek, a man on police files for more than 12 years and convicted of fraud. The MEP said he was convinced documents concerning an inheritance in Swiss banks were genuine. He added in an interview with Czech television that Hunek wanted to give the Swiss proceeds to humanitarian causes. Dreams of a white Christmas in the Czech Republic look like they will remain just that. Weather forecasters in their first appraisal have given the chances of snow on Christmas Day at just 20%. Chances of snow on higher ground are estimated at around 20 to 40% higher. In the past 5 years, the Christmas temperatures have often hovered above freezing points, with the last Prague Christmas with snow in 2010. And in ice hockey, Jaromír Jágr ended his 8-game goal drought and scored in Florida Panthers' 4-1 victory against Washington. The goal takes Jágr's NHL goal tally to 731, a total which equals that of Marcel Dion. Dion is the fourth highest scorer in NHL history. Jágr needs 10 more goals to equal the record of third-placed Brett Hull. I'm Chris Johnston, and that was the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Jan Bellinger. Coming up in today's program, Czech military intelligence will invest hundreds of millions of crowns in cyber defense. We'll be talking to a top analyst. Then, archaeologists in the town of Přerov in Moravia have found a unique statuette from the Neolithic period. And a little later in the program, stay tuned for the arts when we'll be talking to a festival organizer about how there should be more buskers in Prague. Czech military intelligence is to earmark hundreds of millions of crowns to go into cyber defense next year. And certainly cyber attacks, or the nature of cyber attacks, is such that no country can be fully safe, even the Czech Republic. I discussed that with the former head of Czech military intelligence, Andor Šandor, and I began by asking him how much cyber attacks had changed.
The cyber attacks were known, but were not considered that dangerous as they are today. And according to U.S. sources, the cyber attacks cost the whole world $315 billion. So it's an omnipresent thing which we face these days, and unfortunately the threat will be enhancing, and it's just quite normal and quite responsible to invest in a cyber defense. Now, if the military intelligence wants or plans to invest, it's the right way to go, and it should be done broadly, not only by the military intelligence, but the whole state administration, but not only the state administration, private businesses should be aware of that threat.
According to what you're saying, this investment is an absolute necessity. The cyber battlefield, if I can use that expression, is always evolving. How much is a country like the Czech Republic at threat?
In these days, we can hardly say that this country is a better target or more favorable target for those who organize cyber attacks. Why often we are witnessing the fact that the cyber attacks are either directly sponsored by the states or indirectly. So we are dealing with the private hackers, but we're also dealing with the hackers that are supported by states. These days we can see that the targets are everywhere, that no country can say we are much more safer than the others because we're not interesting for the others who organize these attacks.
In the Czech TV report, Karel Rožánek put some emphasis on groups like Islamic State. What do you think the threat is from groups like that?
I think these people invest very much in cyber attacks. We have to accept the fact that they can threaten us by firearms, by the suicidal attacks, by what we see or what we saw in Paris and anywhere else, but at the same time they invest in their capacity to harm us by cyber attacks, and they employ people who are very good at cyber attacks, who really understand the business, and they are very sophisticated in these attacks. So we have to take this threat seriously and do as much as we can to be properly defended. So I would be surprised if things like that were not used during the military campaign that is run both by the Americans and the Russians.
And that was General Andor Sándor, a former head of Czech military intelligence, talking about cyber defense and potential threats. And my thanks again to him for talking to Radio Prague. Now, archaeologists in the East Moravian town of Přerov have discovered a unique statuette, which they believe dates back to the early Neolithic period. The richly ornamented torso was hidden under the ground for more than 7,000 years. Ruth Frankova has the details.
The significant and valuable finding was discovered during initial excavations of an archaeological site near Lipník nad Bečvou, a small town on the edge of the Moravian Gade Valley. It is a torso of a body, or what the archaeologists call an anthropomorphic sculpture, richly engraved with geometric ornaments. It is about 76 millimeters tall, and its head and arms have been broken off. According to the head of the archaeological research at the site, Zdeněk Schenk, the statuette must be at least 7,000 years old, since it was found on the site of an early Neolithic settlement.
It is the site of the first farmers settling on the territory of the Czech Republic, who were represented by the so-called linear pottery culture. They settled in the Moravian Gate Valley at the start of the old Neolithic period, 5,000 years BC. We know that they used to build long buildings, and they traded stone, which was used for creating tools. They also made pottery for daily use, but also statuettes such as this one.
Archaeologists are not quite sure what the statue was used for, but they do agree that in the context of the Czech Republic, the finding is unique due to its size and richness of ornamentation. Anthropomorphic sculptures were discovered in the Czech Republic in the past, but they were always just tiny fragments. Zdeněk Schenk once again.
In the European context, we call the figure Lipenský idol or Lipník idol figurine, not only because of the location where it was found, but because it remotely reminds us of the idol figurines of the Vinča Neolithic archaeological culture from Southeast Europe in what is today Serbia.
According to Mr. Schenk, it is hard to estimate the value of his findings in terms of money, but he says its historic value is priceless. Speaking for himself, Mr. Schenk says that the recent discovery was definitely one of the highlights of his long career in archaeology. After undergoing further examinations, the Lipping Idol will be eventually displayed at the Comenius Museum in Přerov.
Thanks to Ruth Frankova there. Now, a quick reminder, this is, of course, Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, where it's now time for today's main feature. A festival called Praha žije hudbou is aiming to bring music to the streets of Prague next spring. If the project goes ahead successfully, professionals and amateurs alike will help culturally transform the city for a day. But organizers will have to reach their proposed target in the current crowdfunding campaign. Jan Gregar of the NGO Nerudný Fest told me more about the project and about busking in Prague.
When we fought with my colleagues from our non-governmental organization, Nerudný Fest, we thought about bringing more live culture into the streets because we think it inspires people, it's good for the city because it means that the city lives and the people who are living here live with it. So, if you compare it to, for example, Dublin or Paris or Berlin, the level of street performing is much higher. And if you are going, for example, from work and you had a bad day and then you see Vionis playing or something like that, I believe it's amazing.
It's certainly true that such moments, unexpected moments, can transform a day, perhaps even more, something that you even never forget in some cases. I remember seeing performances like that in New York City, for example, which were impromptu but suddenly took off and a huge crowd formed. So I get what you're saying there. Other cities have more busking. Are there reasons, perhaps cultural, why busking is not as common here or as popular here?
You know, it's not really easy question, but if I think of it in broader sense, I don't want to blame communism for everything. But obviously, if you have some cultural tradition which is related to some basic freedoms, if you have 45 years of something which is destroying freedom from everything, obviously you can suppose that there is not a good tradition of live performances. But I believe the people, like especially the musicians, are not used too much in Prague to perform. They don't meet with great success usually, or maybe, you know, kind appreciation from the people going around them. So some of the Czech citizens, for example, Prague ones, think, I believe, that you are just earning the money. It's not about the culture. And that's the thing we want to change. We want to show nearly to everybody in Prague that life culture is important, but it's not only about the money, but about the experience.
I'd like to talk about busking and its importance not only for the audiences, but also for the performers. It must be one of the starting points for musicians, singers, who some of whom one day go on to great things. It's kind of their first audience. Would you agree?
Definitely, definitely. Because there are many, many, many examples in nearly every country. For example, Edith Piaf was a busker. In these days, it's us. Or even though I don't like Justin Bieber, he started in the streets as well. You know, we have some example of now known musicians in Czech Republic. So it's, for example, Jakub Ondra, who started 2 years ago. He's now 20, 21, something like that. And now he's recording in Germany, and he's selling over in the whole world his albums. So definitely it's the beginning. And the best thing about it, it's you, for example, if you go just, I don't know, from bar to home, and you meet somebody like that, you like him and you support him just with 20 crowns, it could mean that one day, and it doesn't have to be in a long future, like, for example, in 2-3 years it's possible, he will be famous, and he will be famous thanks to you.
Who are some of the people who are going to be taking part? Because I read that it'll be open to both amateurs, but also to professionals. And among the professionals you have, for example, someone like Lenka Dusilova, who is a very respected performer, who it seems has always forged her own path, someone who never really moved into the mainstream, but above all sort of kept her own direction. Could you tell me a little bit about how she's involved?
Yes. In choosing the artist for our lineup, we always think about the basic, like all of the concerts, even though we will have some small stages, are basically possible to be made in the streets. Therefore, we chose, for example, Lenka Dusilova, who is now a very known or respected person. On the other hand, she is playing sometimes on the streets. Not so much anymore, but she has a relationship with it. Therefore, she agreed, by the way, to play at the festival, because as a non-commercial activity, which will be for free, we don't have huge budgets as big festivals happening in Prague, for example. So for us, it's also important that the musician understands our philosophy, and hopefully, and I'm really glad for that, there are lots of musicians already. Like, we are now in the two-thirds of our campaign on crowdfunding, but we have already so many people who would like to participate, and it begins with the total amateurs, because the project is open to anybody who would like to perform. We will have an app also, so anybody who will visit the festival can get the program, just exactly who is playing where in the streets, and therefore there are also the big musicians like Lenka Dusilova or Xavier Bamaxa. We would like to invite also some foreign musicians. We are in contact with them. Hopefully, maybe, there will be a great name from abroad, but it's now under negotiation, so I can promise that. But I'm really happy from the reaction of all the musicians who basically really support this idea and think it's necessary.
You mentioned the crowdfunding campaign there. How important a piece in the puzzle, if I can put it that way, is crowdfunding for a campaign such as this one?
Very important. You know, I'm not a big fan of crowdfunding. We do other projects as well, which are basically all of them are non-commercial. But for me, it's much easier not to bother people and just get the finances from anywhere else. But this kind of project is important to have the crowdfunding campaign, because I want to know that the people wish to have such a festival, such a project in Prague. So therefore, it's mostly not only about the money, which will be important from the basic realization of the festival, but also to get the response from the people in here to see, hey, I want to something like that happen in Prague, and I support it, and I actively support it, because it's not about the music activity, it's also about some civic behavior or something like that. That's also important. And the second thing is that we succeeded at some negotiations with Vodafone Foundation. So when we get to the final amount of 135,000, hopefully, because we have still 11 days, so I hope we will make it, then they will double the amount of money. So that's also the reason we are doing the crowdfunding here.
Obviously, putting together this kind of a campaign, this kind of project, involves a lot of detailed organization and juggling a lot of different things at once, I imagine. Are you managing to have fun with it as well? Because, for instance, I was looking at one of the video clips accompanying the campaign, and it looks like you got a certain spirit across. In the video, you have musicians who end up using instruments in a very different way from normal, these kind of refined, musical, fragile instruments, and they're being used as work tools. So are you having fun? And perhaps we could talk a little bit about that clip.
Yeah, we are having fun, definitely, when we are making something like that. But there is also some idea behind it, because we think that not only the musicians, but we can focus on them in this situation, are with their music rebuilding the city, like making it better. So therefore we use this parallel to show people that in a funny way, the importance of musicians or what they are doing for the city. So that was one of the small ideas behind, like basically when we are doing this, preparing promo materials, flyers or some videos. And it's true, we expect it will be really, really difficult to manage all of this. It will be a lot of work, but we are happy to do that. We are following that we want to not only have fun for ourselves, but attract people, to show them something different than they are usually getting from adverts and some ads or something like that.
That was Jan Gregar of the NGO Nerudny Fest, the people behind Prahajie Hudbo, a project, an ambitious project, which is now in crowdfunding. That campaign is still going on, so if you're interested and you would like to see busking in Prague, or this busking festival take place next May, do look them up on the internet. And if you have any questions for us or would like to comment on anything at all that you've heard in today's show, please write to us here at the station. The address is english@radio.cz. And as always, you'll find many more stories, features, news items, all kinds of stuff in sound and text at our website. Radio.cz is the address to visit. But that's it. That's it. I'm Jan Vellinger for myself and for all of us here at the station. Thanks so much for joining us this day, and take care.